Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. Homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Also a pastor of a church out here in Elizabeth, Colorado. Steve Vaughn, also in studio with me, homeschool father of six. As we address cultural issues, worldview issues from a distinctively Christian worldview perspective, and encourage families to bring their children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And so today we have an intensely practical subject that we have come back to several times over the last 16 years of this broadcast, and that is Miss America and the swimsuit competition. And John Stone Street has a piece on this in Breakpoint, because it turns out the Miss America has discontinued the swimsuit competition due to pressures from the Me Too movement. And John Stone Street does an interesting piece on this, as does Religion News Service. I think these are instructive because these are prophetic pieces that really point to the almost complete lack of spirituality or spiritual strength in the American church today. So this is a prophetic word that comes through these articles. And John Stone Street says swimsuits are history for Miss America. But he says reactions to this news by many conservatives reveals more than I wanted to see. 20 years ago, social conservatives were crusading against pornography and sexual objectification. They would have cheered if the nation's largest beauty pageant eliminated its bikini competition. Recently, Miss America chair Gretchen Carlson announced that her pageant is scrapping its swimsuit segment. Now she says they'll be judged wholly on who they are, not how they look. We'll see how that works out. But he says a writer at the National Review. Now, the National Review is a conservative news magazine. Just for everybody to understand, the National Review is a conservative news magazine. The National Review lamented the end of Miss America's bikini contest, saying, and I quote, "I like looking at really beautiful women, including when they wear bikinis." And John Stone Street says, "If I said that, my wife would punch me in the nose." Of course men like looking at women in bikinis. There's no question there, but that doesn't make it right. In the not-too-recent memory, a conservative man would have been ashamed to say something like that, perhaps thinking of Jesus' words that anyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart, and on it goes. But friends, you name a person, you name a Christian who has opposed the Miss America bathing suit contests recently. This is the kind of thing that Christians would have been shamed for by their evangelical counterparts over the last 10 to 15 years. Just trust me on this. In January or April 22nd, 2009, we took a position against it. And this is, you can find the program online. We took a position against the swimsuit competition in the Miss America competition. And this is the way the program is described. A young woman from a beauty contest in a bikini on national television says she doesn't like homosexual marriage, thereby causing a bit of furor from people who like homosexual marriage. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
She stood up in a bikini and she told everybody she didn't like homosexual marriage. And some of us had a hard time believing it in 2009. Then in 2011, January 21st, 2011, a homeschooler, Teresa Scanlon, won the Miss America pageant. And again, we were simply asking the question if the bikini competition well represented 1 Peter 3 and 1 Timothy chapter 2, meek and quiet spirit, shamefacedness, and so forth. And we just were asking the question. So we addressed this in 2009, 2011, and where were the Christians in standing up against this? By the way, the Omaha World Herald reports that since her reign, Teresa Scanlon has juggled an unplanned pregnancy, a divorce, and now a single mom. The 25-year-old is wrapping up basic training with the Air National Guard. So that was the future of this particular beauty pageant competitor who won the Miss America contest somewhat 7 years ago. But Religion News Service came out with an article just a few weeks ago on this very thing, and they ask a very important question. Listen to this. Opponents of the Miss America pageant's decision to discontinue the swimsuit portion of their competition have blamed liberals, feminists, and the Me Too movement, and with good reason. None, however, have blamed Christians. Nobody's blamed Christians for this. Why not? Christians, so often known for trumpeting values like modesty, inner beauty, and the dignity of women, have a natural place on the front lines of the battle against the bikini. Why weren't Christians waging their own culture war against the Miss America pageant, as some have against abortion and gay marriage? As it turns out, they used to. Southern Baptists passed a resolution on beauty contests in 1926 that stated in part that whereas beauty contests and so-called bathing reviews tend to lower true and genuine respect for womanhood, we, the Southern Baptist Convention, do deplore and condemn all such contests and reviews. That was 1926. And you know the Southern Baptists would not have done that in the 1980s, the 1990s, the 2000s. Why? Why won't Christians oppose these things and stand against the culture? Here's why. Because it's hard to stand against the culture. Because the Me Too movement, the unbelievers, have courage and Christians don't. That's the reason. It would be nice to find Christians with faith and courage to take a stand on something. Wouldn't that be refreshing?
That would be, but then they put themselves up for public ridicule. Oh, wait a minute. That's in Hebrews.
Oh, wait a minute. That's Matthew chapter 5. That's part of the Beatitudes. Blessed are you when men persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. Okay, that's... So, friends, why won't Christians engage the cultural battles and risk a little persecution? Because they're frightened silly. And maybe a good many of them are wrapped up in sexual sin. Maybe too many of the church leaders are wrapped up in pornography. So I think there's a passionate desire for many, many Christians to fit in with the world. They don't exactly agree with the Apostle Paul in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I just don't think there's the commitment to nonconformance, swimming against the stream, risking the ridicule of the world, submitting yourself to be the offscouring of the world, the ultimate degraded Christian who's spat upon by all of the organizations, the Facebook organizations, Google, all of the Amazon organizations. They just don't want to receive persecution. I just don't think Christians want to submit themselves to persecution. And that's why they don't lead on any of the cultural battles that I know of.
Yeah, it's just they want to just kind of sit back and be anonymous in that sense, you know, because again, they feel that they're risking their families, their honor, their fortunes.
The Miss America contest has discontinued the bikini contest, not because of any Christian influence, not because Christians have stood up for modesty and have done their best to protect the respect and the modesty of women, and perhaps to avoid the offense for many, many young men who are given towards sexual sin of looking at a woman to lust after her in their hearts. No. It has not been the Christians to contribute to this. It has been the liberals. It's the Me Too movement that stood against the bikini contest and the objectification of women in our generation. Not the Christians. So where are the Christians? Where is the faith of Christians in the 21st century? Is there any faith left on the earth? Be back in just a moment on the Generations Radio broadcast. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abort-efficient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about 1/3 of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way. protecting life as Christians do at one-third the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And we are back on the Generations Radio broadcast as we come back to a question of whether our daughters should participate in beauty contests or even model. We're going to ask that question in just a moment. But why would we oppose the bathing suit competition in the Miss America contests in this country? It's not just an objectification issue, but it is an objectification issue. If objectification is reduction of the value of a person to a mere sexual object, if that's what objectification is, yes, we believe that's a problem.
Yes. Yeah. Women are created in the image of God.
Amen.
And so, amen, therefore needs to be valued in that
sense.
That's
right. Exactly. She needs to be valued as a beautiful creation of God. She needs to be valued as one who is made in the image of God. And so that's first and foremost. And our sisters in Christ also should be valued as those who are bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus. And therefore, that is what establishes the value of each individual woman and man created in the image of God. And God has imbued them with a value, a very, very important value, and is not based on how they are perceived sexually by somebody else. Okay, so it's not just an objectification issue, but I think we simply asked the question on the 2009 program, the 2011 program, we asked the question, does this beauty contest sound like 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9 to you? In like manner also, the women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Okay, stop for a moment. With shamefacedness and sobriety. Stop for a moment. Is that what you are getting in the beauty contest? Are you getting women adorning themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair, gold, pearls, costly array?
Yeah, they're actually doing the opposite of that.
It seems that the beauty contest may not be a good application of 1 Timothy 2 and verse 9. So we were merely encouraging Christians to take the Word of God seriously. The Word of God intended to equip the man and the woman of God for every single good work. Take 1 Timothy 2 and 9 seriously and ask the question. See, a lot of people, they read God's Word, they say, oh, just wonderful, wonderful truth, but they never really want to apply it to themselves or to anything else. And I think, you know, we need to actually take God's word out there and say, okay, is what I'm doing, I'm just not talking about beauty contests, it's, you know, looking at yourself in the mirror on a Monday morning, getting ready to go to church on a Sunday morning, is what you are doing right now in accord with what Paul says in 1 Timothy 2:9, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety? That's the question. Does this sound like 1 Peter to you? Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. See, these were the verses that we read on the air in 2009, 2011, and challenged Christians to answer the question. Do these beauty contests and the bikini contests really align with the will of God, as communicated by the apostles in 1 Peter 3 and 1 Timothy chapter 2. So those were the questions that we were asking. Does a loose way of handling modesty invite sexual sin? We might ask that of those Miss America contestants who wound up pregnant out of wedlock. See, we might just ask those questions. And it's not wrong to ask questions. It's perhaps a way in which we might encourage wisdom for some of our young people who may be tempted to immodesty. Does a loose way of handling modesty invite sexual sin? So again, these questions to be considered by not just Miss America beauty contestants, but also by every single young man and young woman out there. Does listening to licentious country music songs and gawking at scantily dressed women instead of increase the possibility of sexual sin? Would be another, you know, if you just ran a steady diet of country music, you know, with all the adultery and all the one-night stand songs, and you just ran that top 40 country music station on your car radio program for, you know, 3, 4, 5 years, and then you just kind of gawk at scantily dressed women, does that increase the possibility of sexual sin in your life? And I think the answer would probably be yes, if somebody was being truthful.
Yeah, I mean, you put that into your imagination, and we talked about that with books. Books are very powerful, but images are extremely powerful as well. When you're listening to these words and getting those images in your head, and then you start to daydream about those, you take that temptation and you consider it, it becomes very difficult for you in sexual sin.
Does a loose way of handling modesty invite sexual sin? And does listening to licentious country music increase the possibility of sexual sin in our lives? And is there any way that women might invite sexual sin as well? Is there any possible way that might happen? Now, that might offend the Me Too movement, but I think women need to be honest and humble and ask these questions of themselves and answer them honestly themselves. So asking questions like this can get us into trouble, but it can also get you out of trouble. And so we want to encourage people to ask those questions. By the way, I think one of the reasons why so many of the Christian leaders were hesitant to take any kind of a stand against the bikini competition in the Miss America beauty contest is because many, in some cases, at least for a period of years, almost all of the Miss America winners were professing Christians. Did you know that?
I did not know
that. Yes. Erica Dunlap, Deirdre Downs, Jennifer Barry, Lauren Nelson, Kristen Haglund, Katie Stamm, Miss Betty Cantrell from 2016, and I could go on and on and on. I think it would be safe to say most, if not all, of the most recent Miss America winners have been professing Christians. Now, what does that say about the state of American Christianity?
It seems that that's in a pretty poor state.
Yeah, but you know, if they write a book, my guess is the book would probably be published by most of the leading evangelical publishers across America today.
Yeah.
If they did, they would be gloried, they would be honored by the evangelical publishing houses in America. But let's check out this article from Christian Post on an ex-Victoria's Secret model who dropped her career to follow Jesus. Her name is Nicole Wilder, and she shares why she walked away from a lucrative modeling career to model underwear with Victoria's Secret to follow Jesus. And now her influence is helping other women and girls use their beauty for good. And so there's this article. Christian Post did an interview with, her name is Nicole Wilder. And here's one of the questions that was asked. You praised Walmart on their campaign to ensure all retailers require Cosmopolitan be sold only to those 18 and older. Since openly speaking out about Cosmo targeting teens with adult messaging, what has been the response? I'm so happy, she says, that Walmart has decided to remove Cosmopolitan from the checkout aisles of over 5,000 stores. It's a huge victory. That means thousands of less copies being sold and thousands of less risque covers being put in front of children's faces. And then they ask, this is Christian Post interviewing Nicole Wilder, and they ask her the question, how would you advise young girls who are aspiring to work in the industry? Truthfully, Ms. Wilder says, I don't recommend modeling as a profession to any young women. Okay, this is the ex-Victoria's Secret model who came to know Jesus, and she's come forth, and she is not recommending modeling as a profession to any young woman, no matter how beautiful the person is. It's just not worth it to be judged only on how you look. She says, however, pursuing music, acting, or other elements of the industry can definitely be fulfilling if their passion is always focused on what the Lord wants. And honoring God, it is possible to be a part of storytelling in movies. I believe God gave us unique and creative gifts for a purpose. What message would you like to leave with men who are constantly being bombarded with secular worldviews? She says this, I would say to stay in God's word daily and to make choices and decisions that honor and glorify God each day. Although none of us are perfect, reading God's word and promises can help us all make wise decisions, also to guard their hearts and minds and stay away from derogatory pictures and videos. Social media and the internet can easily get men caught up in sin. It's a slippery and scary road that the devil uses and gets people trapped in, and so forth and so on. So she gives some reasons for avoiding modeling. She discourages modeling for girls, for all girls, she says, for all women. She says, I discourage modeling. And she says it's because of the comparison trap. But isn't that what beauty contests do? Don't they compare one with the other?
Yeah. And so you have to look at the physicality of the women. And so now you're not really looking at the beauty that is within. You're only looking at externals. And that is, I mean, men look at externals, and that's what gets them into trouble.
And these beauty contests certainly do not take into account the hidden woman of the heart, as mentioned in 1 Peter chapter 3. They don't judge her on the hidden woman of the heart, her piety, her godliness, her fear of God, and her humility. You know, why wouldn't they say, okay, in the humility competition, you know, Miss Jones gets a 9.8. What's wrong with that? You follow me here, Steve?
Yeah.
Why don't they do humility contests, humility competitions? That's the ticket. Let's do a humility competition.
Nobody would be able to show
up. Nobody would show up.
Yeah.
If we announced a humility competition for the Miss America contest 2019, how many would show up? I want to win this.
Yeah.
I think I can win this.
I have loads of humility. Yeah, In fact, I'm most proud of my humility.
I'm looking forward to competing in the shamefacedness competition.
Yeah.
The meek and quiet spirit competition. You know, I'm thinking I'm going to win this year.
Yeah.
That's silliness, of course. So, you know, our value is not found in what other people think about us. Our value is found in what God thinks of us. God places his value on us. And that's the most important thing that our young ladies need to understand. What's the value of public opinion? Almost zero.
Zero, yeah.
Yep. Public opinion comes and goes. It's not important. And comparisons and contests are usually based in pride. 99.9% pride. And what does God say about pride? When pride comes, then comes disgrace. Mm-hmm. But with the humble is wisdom. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. One's pride will bring him low, but he who is lowly in spirit will obtain honor. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil, pride and arrogance, and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. And then James 4 and verse 6, therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So friends, the world system is based on vanity. The world system is based on pride. The world is not interested in humility and the fear of God. You're not going to find it in the Miss America competition. They're not going to go to the very core issue that matters more than anything else, and that is the meek and quiet spirit, the godliness, the piety, that fear of God that resides in the heart of that woman who shall be praised. What does Proverbs 31 say? Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Now put that in your beauty competition, and you know they won't, because the very next day, they will cancel it. Indeed, our daughters need some affirmation from dad. Dads should continually be thankful for the good gifts that God has given to daughters. And we need to appreciate them. We need to affirm them as fathers. If we don't affirm them, they're going to find that affirmation somewhere else. And if we don't direct them to God, who is the source of all good things and has given them good things, not just good looks, but good gifts, many, many, many good gifts for which they need to be thankful. Again, it's this competition, it's this comparison with others that tends to move young women into discontentment about themselves, about their weight, about their looks, and all the rest. And then they are not grateful for the body that God has given to them. And then they are not grateful for the gifts that God has given to them. So all of this pride, all of this competition, all of this comparison that happens just diminishes gratefulness in the hearts of our daughters. Let's turn our daughters back to God. Let's affirm our daughters and the good gifts that God has given to our daughters. By the way, I know a family, a close family to me, who knows one of the Miss America champions. And they are well familiar with her family life. And it is so sad. It is so sad. The family relationships were not good. It's a sad story. It's a very sad story. The story of Miss America's are really sad stories. Behind the scenes, trust me, friends, the stories behind the scenes are very, very sad. The world is all about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And the world passes away with all of its lusts again and again and again. Shall our daughters be models? We don't answer those questions directly. We simply say, how is this going to advance the focus on the meek and quiet spirit, the beauty of a submissive heart in your daughter's life? How is this going to advance humility and the fear of God and a reticence to competition on body looks? How is this going to affect her brothers and sisters in Christ in the church? These are the questions to ask. We're not going to answer these questions for you. We're not going to love God with our mind for you. We're going to encourage you to love God with your mind and make good decisions when it comes to yourself and to your children. Well, friends, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Radio broadcast. I would encourage you to our book, The Tattooed Jesus, What the Real Jesus Would Do with Pop Culture, as a way in which you can better discern what is going on in our world around us. It's a very practical book dealing with all of these various aspects of popular culture, whether it be movies, music, cultural standards, whatever it is. Check out The Tattooed Jesus, What the Real Jesus Would Do with Pop Culture, a little book available at our website, generations.org or kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.